We're going to be talking about a very similar topic as the children's address. Our passage for today is Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 15 through 31. Last week, Pastor Tim, not me, Pastor Tim Van Lant, he spoke from 1 Samuel chapter 17 about the victory of Christ seen through David and Goliath. We took a break from our series, Why the Wilderness, but we're going to jump back in today. And throughout this series, we've been exhorted to trust in the one who has gone before us and to trust in the one who is with us today, just like Israel was exhorted to do so. All right, let me read God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 15 through 31. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully, since you saw no form on the day that the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Beware lest you act corruptly by making a carved image for yourselves, in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water under the earth. And beware, lest you raise your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, you be drawn away and bow down to them and serve them, things that the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be a people of his own inheritance, as you are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me because of you, and he swore that I should not cross the Jordan, that I should not enter the good land that the Lord your God has given you for an inheritance. For I must die in this land. I must not go over the Jordan, but you shall go over and take possession of that good land. Take care lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make a carved image, the form of anything that the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. When you father children and children's children and have grown old in the land, if you act corruptly by making a carved image in the form of anything and by doing what is evil in the sight of the Lord your God so as to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that you will soon utterly perish from the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. You will not live long in it, but will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods of wood and stone, the work of human hands that neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in tribulation and all these things come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask for your Spirit to minister to all of us, including myself. Lord, you know how often we fail in what we're going to talk about. You know how easily we fall into idolatry, how easily we fall into sin. And so we desperately need your transformation in our lives through your holy and inspired word. I ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Ronda Rousey. If you know that name, please raise your hand. Ronda Rousey. Who is she? She is a professional mixed martial artist who was the former UFC. If you don't know UFC, it stands for Ultimate Fighting Championship. She was the women's bantamweight champion. She was the only champion in her division since the inception of that division in 2012. She would dominate her opponents. I mean dominate in a matter of seconds. Her last three victories, the time it took for her to win, if you combine all those fights, those three victories, they combine for a total of only 64 seconds. Wow. However, this past November, she lost. She lost her title as the champion. She was knocked out by her opponent, Holly Holm. Being the champion was the world to Rousey. That was her life. That was what defined her. That was her idol. This past February, last month, she was interviewed by Ellen DeGeneres. And she reflected on her loss to Holly Holm. And this is what she had to say. I want you guys to listen. Honestly, I was sitting in the corner of the post-fight medical room and was like, what am I anymore if I'm not this? I was literally sitting there thinking about killing myself. She continues, in that exact second, I'm like, I'm nothing. What do I do anymore? This is an accurate and vivid picture of idolatry, of what idols do to us. They enslave us. They make us more dead than before. And when we lose them, we are deceived to think that we have nothing and that we are nothing. The reformer John Calvin, he describes the human condition as idol factories. You are an idol factory. I am an idol factor. We are idolaters. We constantly create and we constantly worship idols. We worship anything and everything except God Himself. In our previous passage, Moses just told us to keep the commandments. I don't know if you remember 2 weeks ago, but it was about keeping the commandments. Essentially, he addressed the command for obedience back then, and today, he is addressing the heart for obedience. What is the heart for obedience? It's to not commit idolatry. Commit idolatry. Our passage today is calling us to do this. By the power of Christ's cross, crucify the idols in your life. Very simple. By the power of Christ's cross, crucify the idols in your life. Our points for today are fourfold. First, what is idolatry? Second, why is it sinful? Third, what does it lead to? And lastly, what then is our hope? What then is our hope? So what is idolatry? Why is it sinful? What does it lead to? And what then is our hope? First, what is idolatry? Let's read verse 15. Let me read for you. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully. Since you saw no form on the day that the Lord spoke to you at Horeb, out of the midst of the fire, beware lest you act corruptly by making a carved image for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps in the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water under the earth. And beware lest you raise your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, you be drawn away and bow down to them and serve them. Things that the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. Idolatry, simply put, is taking created things and worshiping them as the creator. Taking created things and worshiping them as the creator. Tim Keller defines idolatry as turning a good thing into an ultimate thing, a good thing into an ultimate thing. See, every sin has its roots in idolatry. We are saying that by committing idolatry, by committing sin, we are saying that this sin, or what we're trying to obtain through the sin, is more important, more worthy than God Himself. In ancient times, in ancient Israel times, the surrounding nations all worshipped the creation, elements of the creation. Mesopotamia, Egypt, we know about that, Phoenicia. That's why our passage today starts with Moses saying, "Watch yourselves very carefully." Everyone around them is creating idols and worshiping them. So you must watch yourselves. They must watch themselves. What are they worshiping? Animals, birds, creeping things, fish, sun, moon, and stars. See, Moses is bringing into remembrance the creation account, Genesis chapter 1. See, upon completion of creating these things each day, what did God say? It is good. It is good. Creation in itself is good. However, it's what we do to them that is not good. It's when we worship them, that's when it's not good. When we turn them into ultimate things, when we turn good things into God things, when we replace our worship of God with our worship of idols, that's when it's not good. That's when it's sinful. Moses is exposing the ridiculousness of this situation. When we look at the creation account in Genesis chapter 1, the pinnacle of the creation is the creation of man, you and me. Through that chapter, we see that man is called to have dominion over all of creation. In three verses, verses 26, 27, and 28, the Lord says twice, "Man shall have dominion over the fish and the birds and the animals of the earth." He is called to rule creation on behalf of the true ruler, God Himself. But what happens in idolatry is exactly the opposite of what we are created for. The things we are called to rule over are now ruling over us. The things that we are called to have dominion over are now having dominion over us. See, idols have no power within themselves. Like that stone that's shaped like a rabbit, that has no power. Idols have no power within themselves, but we give them that power over us, to rule over us. Moses makes this clear in verse 28. Now I'm jumping down, and I'm going to be jumping around a lot today. Verse 28, "And there you will serve gods of wood and stone, the work of human hands that neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell." They don't even have life. These idols don't even have life. And you are worshiping them. That is so ridiculous. These idols are created by the work of human hands and by the thoughts of human hearts, sinful human hearts. See, we do the same thing. We may not worship nature, or we may not worship little man-made statues, but we take something that is created, something that is good, and we worship it as if it's the Creator, as if it's God Himself. We may not worship animals, but we worship academics. We may not worship birds, but we worship beauty. We may not worship fish, but we worship fame or fun. Maybe not the sun, but we worship success. We may not fear the moon and the stars, but we fear man. And we fear death. We may not idolize wood or metal, but we idolize wealth and power. See, idols are all around us. We're surrounded by it. Our classmates, our coworkers, the world, when we walk out those doors, or maybe just on our phones, even right now, idols are there. And Moses' words to Israel is his words to us. Watch yourselves very carefully. What are the idols in our lives? Some questions for us to ask ourselves. What are the things we need? What are some of the things we envy of others? What are the things we fear? What rules and dictates our lives, our thoughts, our goals? What defines us? What gives us our identity? What are the things or the people that we spend the most money on? What occupies our time the most? Where do we escape to? Whenever you have downtime, where do you go? Whenever you start daydreaming or start zoning out, maybe some of you are doing it right now, starting zoning out, what do you fantasize about? What do we complain about? See, the things we need have replaced the God we need. The things we fear have replaced the God we are to fear. The things that rule over us have replaced the true ruler. The things we submit to have replaced the God whom we are called to submit to. The identity that defines us have replaced the God who defines us. The things we long for, the things we love, have replaced the God whom we are called to long for and to love above all things. What do you complain about? See, the things we complain about shows us the things that we truly want and desire, the things that we do not have right now. Instead of recognizing that we are called to truly desire God, whom we have right now. What are our idols? And this leads us to our second point. Why is it sinful? Why is idolatry sinful? Simply put, idols are not God. Idols are not God. We're going to jump back to verse 15. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully, since you saw no form. Notice it. Notice what he's saying, what Moses is saying. Since you saw no form on the day that the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire. The Old Testament scholar Meredith Klein had this to say about this verse. For though a voice was heard declaring the words of the covenant, no form of God was seen, but only the devouring fire of God's glory. The visible symbols of God's self-revelation thus reinforced the prohibition of the second commandment. The Lord did not reveal himself as the form of creation. The Lord did not reveal himself as the form of anything at all. Why? Because the Lord is spirit. He's infinite. He's eternal. He has no beginning. He was not created. He cannot be contained in something that is finite, and we misidentify God for something that cannot be put in the same category. That is what idolatry is. We hate being misidentified ourselves. When someone calls you by the wrong name, Tom. No, it's Tip. When someone mistakes us for someone else, it hurts. We're offended. Slightly, if not a lot. Why? Because it shows us that that person does not know us. He has overlooked us because essentially we are just not that important to that person. For us to worship created objects instead of God himself is like someone mistaking us for the wrong person or with the wrong name, but on an infinitely grander scale. It shows that we do not know God. It shows us that we have overlooked God. It shows us that we don't really care about God. He's not that important to us. Why is it sinful? Not only are we to worship God correctly in the right way, But we're called to worship him in the way he has revealed to us. In Exodus 32, right after the Exodus, the people of Israel are on Mount Sinai, and Moses has gone to speak with the Lord. And what his brother Aaron does, you guys might have heard this story before, he gets all the people to give their gold, and he sculpts this golden calf. And they start worshiping this golden calf. This is idolatry. But in the minds of the people, they thought this was the true God. This was the God who delivered them. Right after the golden calf was created, they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." They were trying to worship the right God, the true God, but they were worshiping in the wrong way. They worshiped him in whichever way they pleased. However, this was sinful because we are to worship God in the way he would be pleased. In the way he has revealed to us. It's not up to us. We can't think that we're worshiping God when we're in our sin. We can't think that we're worshiping God when we're doing whatever we want, living however we want, and we're still saying it's all for God. No, the word, God defines how he is to be worshipped. God defines how we are to live for him. Idolatry is sinful, not only because it's the wrong God, not only because we're worshiping God in the wrong way, but idolatry is sinful because it shows that we have forgotten, or Israel has forgotten, what the Lord has done. Verse 20, "But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be a people of his own inheritance, as you are this day." Let's skip to verse 23. "Take care lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make a carved image, the form of anything that the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." See, Moses is saying to Israel that idolatry is extremely sinful because they have forgotten what the Lord has done. The Lord has delivered them from the furnace. He describes that as a furnace. Delivered them from the furnace of the house of slavery in Egypt. For what purpose? We see that in that verse, to be God's own inheritance. God has saved them so that he can receive them. See, in the same way, God has delivered us from the furnace of the house of slavery, not in Egypt, but in sin. He has saved us so that he can receive us, so that he can be our God and we can be his people. Yet we forget this. We give our hearts to futile idols. We think that they satisfy us, when really, they kill us. And this leads us to our third point. What does it lead to? What does idolatry lead to? Back to verse 21. "Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me because of you, and he swore that I should not cross the Jordan, and that I should not enter the good land that the Lord your God has given you for an inheritance. For I must die in this land. I must not go over the Jordan, but you shall go over and take possession of that good land." See, Moses is using himself as an example. This is what happens when you commit idolatry. What happens? Essentially, it's exile and death. Exile and death. Let's jump to verse 25. "When you father children and children's children and have grown old in the land, if you act corruptly by making a carved image in the form of anything and by doing what is evil in the sight of the Lord your God so as to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that you will soon utterly perish from the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. You will not live long in it, but will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you." Israel will lose their community. Israel will lose their inheritance. Israel will lose their lives. That's what happens when they fall into idolatry. It's the same thing with us today. We think that serving idols will satisfy us, but it leaves us more hungry and thirsty than before. We think that idolatry, these idols, will give us life, but these idols make us more dead than before. Tom Brady, the New England Patriots Hall of Fame quarterback, he has it all. He has the wealth. I know you guys hate him, but he has the wealth. He has the fame. He has the power. He has his accomplishments of winning 4 Super Bowls. He's one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history. However, before he was 30, he's already won 3 Super Bowls at that time. Before he was 30, he said something remarkable in an interview he had on the show 60 Minutes. This is what he had to say. "I'm making more money now than I ever thought I would make playing football. Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think that there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey man, this is what it is. I've reached my goal, my dreams, my life. Me? I think, God, there's got to be more than this." And the reporter asked him, what's the answer to that problem? And then he responded, "I wish I knew. I wish I knew." Notice what he said. There's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than this. Idolatry does not satisfy us. It enslaves us. It does not give us happiness. Instead, it brings us loneliness. It deceives us to think that we are nothing apart from it. Look at Ronda Rousey, the person that we talked about at the beginning of this sermon. Just like Israel, if we are in idolatry, we are not able to enjoy and embrace the inheritance and the blessings that the Lord has poured upon us in our salvation in Him. And the Lord is warning us, do you see your idols in that way? The places of comfort, the places that rule over you, your joy that is not in Christ, do you see it this way? That it's going to destroy you? Do you believe that only God is the source of true life? Only God is the source of true joy. And this leads us to our last point. This is the good news. What then is our hope? And I'm so happy that the Lord leaves us with this hope. Verse 29. "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him. If you search after Him with all your heart and with all your soul, when you are in tribulation and all these things come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey His voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that He swore to them." What then is our hope? It's our God who is loving and merciful. Moses says that in the destruction and the futility of idolatry, they will return to the Lord. They will return to the Lord. See, the thing is, with sinful Israel and sinful humanity, we do not return to the Lord. We do not bring ourselves back to the Lord with our own strength and with our own power. It's the Lord who brings us back to Himself. It's the Lord who returns us back to Himself. How do we know this? How can we be sure of this? It's because He sent His one and only Son. The last verse of our passage today says that our Lord is a merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them. He will not leave us. He will not destroy us. He will remember us. How is he merciful to us, a broken and sinful people, a people who commit idolatry every single moment of every single day? How does he show us mercy? It's not by destroying us, but it's by destroying his only son. It's not by leaving us, it's by leaving and forsaking his only son. See, Christ is where the promise of God's presence and the covenant of God's people are fulfilled. It's on the cross where the judgment of our idolatry is taken and the curse of our idolatry is broken. It's through the cross where we see the fullness of God's judgment on idolatry. And it's also the place where we see the fullness of God's mercy on idolaters. Like you and me. It's through Christ's death and resurrection that he remembers us, that he knows us. It's through the curtain that was torn that shows us that he will be with us now and forevermore. That is our hope. May that hope be the power for us to crucify the idols in our lives. May that hope give us peace when we are in the midst of our wilderness, in the midst of our struggles. May that hope be proclaimed through our words, through our deeds, for the dark and broken world that so desperately needs to hear the message of that hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this time where you have shown us that we commit idolatry all the time. We sin so much. And we are committing idolatry without us even knowing. We're seeking not after you, but we are seeking after things that will leave us more empty than before, more broken than before, more dead than before, instead of seeking after you. But we thank you for Christ who sought after you, who followed after you, who pursued you, who did not commit a single idol in his life, did not commit idolatry at all in his life. Like we heard in the children's address, that he did what we could not do, and he paid the punishment that was for our own idolatry. We thank you that through that cross, through the good news of Jesus, now our sin has been broken. Now we are able to worship you and you alone, to love you more than anything. And I pray, O God, that we will be a people who shines this light, the light of hope, hope of the gospel, that we will live lives not in idolatry, but in freedom, so that we can glorify you, so that we can see your kingdom come. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.